You see, the Buddha's fifth contemplation, the right view with regards to law of karma, 那个就是最重点的。 When you understand that, you will understand why it's like that. Whether you come and pay back your debt, or it is a condition to test you or what. You will understand. Because the Buddha make it very clear, each and every living being you have to reflect. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Then he said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. What is the causes and conditions? It's definitely karma, because 99.99%, because you are born of it, heir to it, condition, and you are what you are because, you know, karma plays such a great role in the living being's life. So, means whatever happened to you, you reflect back, you understand there are causes and conditions. Means in the past, I have created such negativity, such kind. That's why now, condition arise, this form of mind will have to go through. Then you will understand what? Then when you understand that this is like karmic debt, you have to repay. You have to endure, you have to endure. The moment you understand and endure, you don't complain, don't react, no more suffering, straight away it will reverse very fast. Understand not? Then there are certain karmic obstruction, like you cultivate, cannot clear one. Then keep on repeating one, this type of thing. You know, like last time, he said, one of them, every time you go to retreat, or maybe there, she will be stung by this type of insect one. 5-6 times. Then I told her, I said, you have to ask her. The moment she asked for forgiveness in front of the Buddha Dhamma, within 1 week, doesn't happen again. Until much, much later, before she left the first batch, for 6-7 years, it never happened again. So all this you must understand, because there are nature's law behind. And the moment you understand, it's very powerful. That's how you will know. That's why I don't have psychic, but I can know, because I understand this nature's law. That's why everyone is different. The way you come, the way you understand. If you have your past, you are gifted, the nature will show one, will manifest one. Or if you got karmic obstruction also, my nature will know. That's why you will know how to tell you what to do, and everyone is different. That's why you must have that four basic vow of the great being to have this understanding. You remember the four basic vow to be a bodhisattva? Can recall that. First is, you vow to liberate the limitless living being. Then you have to vow to endure all of the karmic vexation or karmic negativity or suffering that arise. Means you must vow to endure them all. No matter what arise, you have to have that understanding. That's why Sabha Asavak Sutta say, ask about that you need to endure, you must endure. Ask about that you need to exercise restraint, you must exercise restraint. So these are the Dhamma you will come to understand. So when you exercise endurance, that is the most important one. Then when it no longer affect you, it will reverse. It will not affect you anymore. So when you can endure all of the suffering that arise, means you can be a real bodhisattva. Because to do this work, you have to undergo a lot of sacrifice. You have to encounter a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty, but your mind is not affected. To do that, you must have the ability to sacrifice, to endure, and to develop the cultivation. That's why the third vow is to penetrate all Dhamma. This is the most important. You penetrate all Dhamma. Means you develop all the possible understanding of all Dhamma to develop the wisdom. Without this, you cannot teach. Without this, you cannot share. Otherwise, what you understand and what you share is very limited. That's why the third vow is very important. Then after that, the fourth vow is the final natural vow to complete the perfection or the 10 perfection to be a Sammasambuddha. But the first three is very important. You vow to liberate and take across all beings. So that vow will drive you, will condition the form and mind for you to come back through that great compassion, the pure mind, you will not take birth like a normal living being through delusion. The last thought, avijja, conditioned rebirth consciousness, there is no more avijja. The consciousness that take effect with the form of mind is a pure mind, pure consciousness born of compassion and love and wisdom. That's why all these are part and parcel of the cultivation and understanding. These four basic vows you must make, otherwise you cannot come back. You cannot be a bodhisattva. No intention to come back. Means you still have the atta. Yeah, you still think there is a person to come back, and you don't have intention to come back. Yeah, the thought is still active. Understand? If during the Buddha's time, according to one of my teachers, he said during the Buddha's time, there are many arahants who later want to walk this path. They couldn't pull out that pure mind, the compassion. They actually cry because they know they will not come back, and because they also know the form of mind is not real. But because it couldn't go this way, because by the time they become arahant, then later on the stillness, the cessation becomes so still until you cannot pull out already, because they don't have the parami and the understanding. Then later on they heard all the other bodhisattva when they discuss this way, then they realize it's important, then they try. Some manage to pull it out, some cannot. They are already too still. Then they actually were in tears, but no sadness. It's like you would, if given a choice, you would have wanted to do this. But early on, don't know. That's why you read Achaman's autobiography. He said that way is too difficult. He decided to become arahant this life. So a lot of Theravada, they don't quite understand. They go and do this type of thing. But you don't have to, because you just let things be. Understand? If there is condition, it will arise. Why you want to limit yourself? Well, this is not you. The form of mind that come is not you. Once you understand this secret, then you will know how to come. It's not you who come. It's the nature's law, that condition the fire aggregate of form of mind to arise, to surface. We got 6 more minutes. If you still got questions, you can ask. Yeah. You use the mic.
我从来没有make过一个vow是for all the living being，不是为我自己而已。那这样子的意思是说，我还是你我相。对。因为那个你我相
very strong, very difficult to overcome. It's from the thought, the egoic mind, the conditioning. So whether wei ni or wei zhong sheng, that's why if you go through our Diamond Sutta, you will know. You must cultivate until no mark. No mark of a self, no mark of a living being, no mark of any dhamma. Then only that parami become very different, that cultivation become very different. But as long as you use the thought, it will always be like that, I have never made that type of vow beyond me. I will not do it. It's just like a qiong ren, poor people. Why you go and label yourself as poor? Then you lower your self-esteem, understand not? Like I always say. Then you don't want to try it. Not for me. I am destined to be poor. I am destined to be stuck in the poverty cycle. I cannot want. So he don't even want to try. But when you don't label yourself, that's why Krishnamurti say you don't label yourself, means what? You are what you are at this moment. Because of ignorance, avijja, because of delusion, you cannot understand. That's why you end up like that. Your condition is like that. But you don't go and label it as poor or what. But if you understand, it's a blessing in disguise. If I'm not in this condition, I will not contemplate or think about life. I will not subject myself to this search. But because I am in this situation, if I perceive it with wholesomeness, it becomes a blessing in disguise. Then it will spur me to develop the understanding. And then like those people who has an open mind, yeah, now I may not be wealthy. I may be poor. I may not have any chance. But no harm, understand? If people share with me some good idea, I got nothing to lose. If I try, if I don't make it, that's it. I'm no different. But if I make it, it makes a big difference. So all this type of vow is like that. I vow. I got no fear. If I cannot make it, no different, isn't it? Correct? But if you make it, that way is all the way yours. Which is not a human being. But every life that this bodhisattva comes, the form and mind, is an entity. That segmented life. And that one can live life. And that one has life. That's why there is such thing as life, even though it's impermanent, moment to moment. Understand? Unreal, anatta, non-self. But there is such thing as life that the form of mind can live. Understand? Like this life, this segment. Every moment, every instant, arise and pass away. So the moment is the only reality. So like very unstable. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. Oh, sadhu, come, come. Yeah, somebody help her. It's a bit heavy. Yeah, come, come. So when you understand all this, you know how to act. You know how to develop all this. Okay, later we continue. Come, come. She wants to put the Buddha Rupang here. She got it from Cameron. It was, I think, offered to her. Okay, come.
Thank you.
Okay, we should rejoice with all the wholesomeness of all those who has brought this offering. Then we should rejoice with the Buddha Rupang that Sister Susan has received from Cameron Triple Gem Temple. Because this one is very, very beautiful and it can give her faith. And develop the understanding and the affinity with all these great beings. And she has a lot of faith, a lot of what they call sincerity and wholesomeness. So because of that, she has actually offered also the Kuan Yin Jig to be placed here later on, she can take back. So there is two. One is the pearl necklace around Kuan Yin. Then the other one is, oh sorry, this one is from Mimi. Is it the big check? Hello, see Mimi. Susan one is that check big. Up there. This one I think. Then now she wants to put this one here. For 3 months or what. After that, she can bring back. Yeah, can. No problem. 3 months. February. Yeah. Just nice. Yeah, very good. You can bring it back to your house for the house dana. 1st of January. It will be just in time. Okay, so we can have our puja now. You can get ready for puja. Maybe tonight we get Sister Susan. Then Ingby, Ingby seldom come. Who? Oh yeah, Mr. Sia, Yeah. Come, three of you come. We got enough candle for you to light. Come. Yeah. Brother Sia, come. Yeah. Like Susan, come. Yeah, Ingby, yeah. I pass you another one. Brother Sia, you can light the incense. Ingby light this candle. Then Susan can light this. Yeah, that candle. Yeah, you can light now. Yeah, Susan, you light this one. Okay, you all can stand, get ready for puja offering. You put on the tray, Brother Sia, put on the tray. And then offer together, the three items offer together. Bring the whole tray out. then offer to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, you can rise. You can rise. Ah, you sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then pass it around. Then Susan, you offer. You offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's a bit hot, be careful. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 It's very heavy, the banana. Be careful if the banana offering is very heavy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Put back the tray. Put back the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 There's another flower there. Sadhu, sadhu. Ah, yes, offer that one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. On top, on top. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Oh, just came on. Ah, okay, we offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Maybe we put here, yeah. The sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Huh? Oh, still got one more tray. Okay, wait for that one to come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated, eh? Then we can start our puja chanting. Compose your mind, huh? Develop the wholesome mind. Then develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then we will start our puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sĩ Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sĩ Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sĩ Phú Sa. Namo Mi La Phổ. Namo Mi La Phổ. Namo Mi La Phổ. Namo Phú Sien Phú Sa. Namo Phú Sien Phú Sa. Namo Phú Sien Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Okay, for Pusa, we will now chant the Thai tradition salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, now you can turn to page 4. Then we will start off with the puja chanting. I on the fan first. Eh? Turn to page 4. We will do the salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato samma sambuddhasa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Pi dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micchacara ramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Okay, now we will chant this Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sara padithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang pang Puja bachana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujayami Buddhang Sumena Nena Punena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yatta Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vina Sabhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu muttamang. Okay, turn to the last page, page 18. We will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami, generosity, and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness, tain the path and fruition. significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana, making of all raw aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. KVOP respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. So, tonight, I think everybody has been here before. So you all can straight away start your meditation. As usual, if you already train your mind, you no need to train. If your spiritual faculty is stable, you just relax, silent, and meditate. That's it. If you still need to train, then you go ahead. You go ahead with the what they call the training. If you need to decondition your heedless thinking, then you can make use of the mind sweeping method as taught to you all in the Blue Book. 13th of September 2013, the meditation is taught by Lord Buddha. Mind sweeping method is very useful for people who has a lot of mental hindrance, who cannot develop the peace, the inner mindfulness and awareness within, the silence within. So you develop this mind sweeping method, then you combine with loving kindness, metta meditation, so that you train your mind to decondition the heedless thinking, to bring about inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. It will bring about inner peace. Then metta bring about inner well-being. So inner peace and inner well-being is very conducive for meditation. Then after that, if you need to stabilize your mindfulness, the silence, you can use a skillful means. It can be any technique or method of meditation that you are familiar with. Whatever object of meditation that you use to train your mind, to anchor this mind, so that it's with the moment in awareness, it is not heedless, lost in thought. You can develop anapanasati if you want to. That is the one recommended by Sakyamuni Buddha. For those who have their own methods and technique or object of meditation, you can use whatever that is appropriate or you are used to, so that you can develop this training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, and to stabilize it. Then after that, you just relax into it. All mind state, whatever mind state that arise, you relax into it, silent. And maintain stability of mindfulness within. When the mind can develop the stability of mindfulness, your mind will become very different. You will start to experience some of the spiritual faculties, starting with sati, then developing into samadhi. When sati arises, normally it will follow with piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, or spiritual peace, meditative peace. When there is only mindfulness without thought, the mind settles down very fast, and this spiritual joy or piti will arise. Then you continue to relax into it and silence some more. Piti will transform into sukha or spiritual bliss. Then as you continue to relax and stabilize this breathing or this mindfulness, the sukha will also transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you have pasati, your mind will become very calm, very still, very tranquil, little or no movement. By then, all your meditation object will become like very subtle. You can hardly detect them. This arises because your sati is still not stable enough, not refined enough. That's why you need to silence everything and don't arise the thought anymore. You just relax, silent, and just maintain awareness of the object of meditation. Then later on, after a while, once it's stabilized, it will develop the higher mindfulness or more refined type of mindfulness, which the mind will understand. Then it will hit pasati, the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, and that is the mind that is already in sati on its own, without thought, without control, without concentration, without absorption. It's a free mind that is quiet, peaceful, and still. So that is the meditative mind. So when you realize that, when you meditate with that mind, you will understand many, many things. All of the subtle breathing will come back to you, like magnified. Even your object of meditation, like rising, falling, early on can become very subtle, but it will come back to you. Then your mind becomes very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it is aware. If you move it to your heart area, it will be very sensitive. It can detect all the vibration within your heart area. It can even detect your heartbeat. Initially, it's like very gross, very loud. But later on, as you continue to relax and let things be, all of the vibration, the movement, the heartbeat, all, they will slow down until they become very, very quiet, very still. So this is how you train your mind. And this mind that is in sati is very different. Wherever you locate the mind that is in sati will become very sensitive. It can detect many, many things. Then when you use this trained mind to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness, then your mind becomes different because it's already in sati. Then if you use it to see things, every moment of seeing, the mind that is in sati will develop the direct seeing. It will understand very clearly. It can see things as they are, without thought, without any movement. Then you can develop the two types of mindfulness, specific phenomenal awareness, or the general spacious awareness without center. It's just silent. The mind is fully aware without center, spacious awareness. Then whatever that arises within the six sense door any of the six and know, you will understand. Then you will be able to develop the understanding of what is going on. Without words, without concept, you will see very clearly what actually happened. Then you will understand very clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How consciousness and its content come to be. How upon contact, the dependent origination arise and pass away. All this you will understand. You will start to witness the essential Dhamma, everything. Okay, now I will let you continue with your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay. For those who wants to continue to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember, you have to try to make use of this trained mind that you have developed to develop the daily mindfulness and to help you develop the understanding of life. The daily mindfulness, stabilizing it into heedfulness, is the real meditation. You have to develop the heedfulness in life in order to develop the ultimate real meditation. Okay, now we will continue the chanting. We will now invoke the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then we get Sister Ingbi to help us chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho jacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarathi Satta Deva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditato Enoheti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Michi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta tha purisa pokala e sa bhagavato sakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo notarang punya ketang loka sati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to the triple gem. Vedang pujemi Dhammang pujemi Sanghang pujemi. Okay. Just relax yourself, then we will continue with our Diamond Sutta. We were at page 44. Ah, yes, 44. Turn the page 44. We will read the opening verse. Then the page 1. Okay, verse for opening a sutta. We will recite together. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now hear, see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 44. So we will read the last paragraph, the page before, page 44 at the end, I think. Oh, we didn't finish this page 44. Yeah, we were at the last paragraph, I think. Emperor Wu heard those words as if he has been struck by a blow and replied, "Why, you black-faced monk, how can you say such a thing to me?" He thereupon refused to acknowledge the patriarch. And since the emperor was no longer receiving his teaching, Bodhidharma took leave. The Buddha actually had been taking living being across, but he was attached to the mark of taking them across and sought a certification from the first patriarch, Bodhidharma. Who would have guessed that Bodhidharma would look him straight in the eye as if to say, "I don't care if you are emperor or not. I refuse to submit to your imperial decorum." This is what Xuanhua, I think, expressed. But I don't think Bodhidharma would think that way. He just replied to the emperor sincerely, because the emperor lacked genuine wisdom and thus became attached to monks when he performed merits, because he thinks he has done a lot of merits. He has built temple, he has fed the monk, he has actually help to build a lot of facilities for them, sponsor and promote the study and cultivation of Buddhism, including the translation, everything. But then he attached to the mark of a person doing, and this doing with an intention to receive these merits. So there is a craving for merits. So all the action is out of greed, which is for the merits, even though it's a wholesome intention. Because he wants to help develop and propagate Buddhism. Because to him, he understands from what he was told is very, very meritorious, wholesome. So this attachment to mark and a self are the two evil roots that cause the wholesomeness to be at mundane level. Mundane level means it's not a pure merit. So to the enlightened being, like Bodhidhamma, this type of merit to them is not merit at all. That's why he replied to the emperor, "You got no merits, zero, despite what he has done." So he couldn't understand Bodhidhamma's words. So because of that, the emperor just got angry and unhappy, then refused to acknowledge him, refused to meet up with him, and refused to have anything to do with Bodhidhamma. That's why Bodhidhamma left. Then we move on. The next one is subsection 3. So we are actually at a section where they define what is a Mahasattva. Maha means great, Sattva is a being. So what is a great being? Bodhisattva is an enlightened being cultivating to be Sammasambuddha. Then Mahasattva is a very great Bodhisattva. Then how do they define a great Bodhisattva, which is a Mahasattva? So according to the Sutta, they must have this seven type of cultivation or perfection. So this seven, the first one is he must have perfected great roots to qualify as a great Mahasattva. Then the second one, he must have great wisdom. These two we have covered. It's on page 43. Then now on page 45, the third criteria is he must have very strong, unshakable faith in the great Dhamma. So this part is very important. Now we will go through this. The Buddha Dharma is deeper than the great sea, higher than the Mount Sumeru. It is difficult to fathom and difficult to penetrate. But with faith, one can taste its flavor. Entry into the ocean of Buddha Dharma is impossible for the person who lacks faith. Just as one might gaze at this ocean and have a great sight, saying, "It's so vast, so big, I could not drink it dry in my entire life." So too might one react when confronted with the precious store of Buddha Dhamma, saying, "How can I ever study all the sutta?" However, if one has faith, if one truly believes, means not blind faith, then from the shallow one can enter the deep. Then from the near, one can reach the far. From the little one can gain a lot. With constant investigation, little by little, one penetrates the precious stores of Buddha Dharma. Deep faith, firm vow, and actual practice are the ingredients. You must make note of this. Deep faith, firm vows, and actual cultivation. So this is what I mean by you must have faith. Then you must have sincerity. That's why when you are very sincere, the faith will bring you the firm vow, because you are very sincere. Then you persevere, means the actual practice. These are the important ingredients. No matter how wonderful the great Dhamma is, without firm faith and without the wonderful, without firm faith, the wonderful cannot be obtained. So now here is repeated in the Diamond Sutta. Faith is very, very important. That's why Sada, the first spiritual faculty, is very, very important. You must have faith in the Buddha, in his teaching. You must have faith in your own nature, your own karma, your own karmic nature, spiritual nature. Then when you cultivate, if you already understood the teaching, you only have to persevere. Means what? As long as you have continued with the cultivation, we are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. You don't have to worry about what happened. Understand? That's why this faith will bring you along. You will develop great wisdom, great virtue, and great understanding, and you will progress, and everything will fall into place. That's why when you live life, when you have this understanding and this type of cultivation, you will not doubt, you will not worry, you will not even have the slightest lack of faith, because you know whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions, and it's part of the way. If you have cultivated it correctly from the beginning, whatever that arises is the reality, meant to be, it has to be. So you just accord and flow. You trust your nature. You don't have to worry about life. You don't have to panic. You don't have to stir your mind. All this will not arise. You are no longer like before, deluded. Lack of faith, lack of understanding. So faith is very important, and it has great meaning, deep meaning. So faith can be developed up to many, many levels of understanding. But when your faith has reached a stage where it has become unshakable, means it's no more doubt. It has become spiritual power, balas, unshakable. No matter what people say or tell you, you will not waver anymore, because you understand the Buddha Dhamma so clearly, and your faith in the Triple Gem is unshakable. Yeah. So this type of faith is very difficult to come by. It needs a lot of Dhamma investigation. When the truth stands up to investigation, you will have a lot of joy, and your faith will become unshakable, because you realize this is the truth. This is the real teaching, and it can bring about great transformation in the living beings. So all the cultivators of the way, as they develop this understanding, as they penetrate the Buddha Dhamma, as they investigate and put it to test, and it stand up to investigation, then they realize this truth, which is so powerful. Then they have a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy, a lot of reverential salutation and respect towards the Buddha and his teaching. All this will pave the way for faith to develop, to stabilize. Then, without any doubt, you will strive on with heedfulness. That's why Sada will bring about virya. And when virya is there, the spiritual zeal or tenacity will drive you to cultivate. Then the third spiritual faculty or sati will fall into place. Then when sati manifests and unfolds, you will understand clearly. Then you will know how to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, the mind is different. It has clarity. It can see things as they are, without any delusion, without any conditioning. Then it can understand things, awaken to the truth, insight into the characteristics of nature, characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, non-self or empty nature of all phenomena, may be mental, physical or nature's phenomena, all this you will come to understand and you will penetrate. That's why faith is very important. Eh? So the third criteria is the faith in the Buddha Dhamma, in the Triple Gem, is unshakable. Then we read on. Eh? Great Dhamma refer to Prajna wisdom, means not the ordinary superficial wisdom. This one refer to perfection of Prajna, means Prajna Paramita wisdom. One simply need believe in his own original existent wisdom. A passage of the Vajra Sutta said, whoever produces a single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata. The Buddha knows if you bring forth a single thought of pure faith, receiving the telegram, he sends the reply. Relentlessly cultivate morality, concentration, and wisdom, means sila, samadhi, and panya. Stop and put greed, hatred, and delusion or stupidity to rest. Then stop. This one is just Xuan Hua's way of putting it in a comedian way for you to maybe develop the understanding. But I would like to refer you to the earlier sentence. Whoever, he said this one comes from the Vajra Sutta, means our Diamond Sutta. Whoever produces a single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata. Yeah. Do you know what is the meaning or not? Yeah. This sentence. Yeah. Actually, it's very powerful. That's why I said earlier on, if you can recall, you can produce a pure thought, a single pure thought, which is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This particular pure thought, the wholesomeness, the merit, surpass all of the merits that the mundane people do. The mundane people do with their conditioned arising mind. Understand not? Thought based. Yeah. No matter how much merits they do, they cannot compare to one moment of pure thought. That free mind, free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this is what the Diamond Sutta meant. Whoever produces a single thought of pure faith, means just sadda without any content, just sadda. He said, the single thought of pure faith is completely known and completely seen by the Tathagata. The Buddha knows if you bring forth a single thought of pure faith. Because that pure thought merge with the oneness, understand not? With that true nature. That's why you become one with it. That's why that is a very, very wholesome thought. Very pure. And only cultivator of the way who has penetrated the Dhamma, who has liberated delusion, especially Sakkayaditi and the three evil roots. Only this being can arise a pure thought. Otherwise your mind is always egoic. The Atta is always there. The self-delusion is always there. Like just now before we start, where is Huiro? She is still meditating. Okay, good. Let her meditate. She and Anne was asking me some question regarding, I think, initially it was regarding the India trip and how to understand whether this karmic thing, whether it's something that you have to come back to pay your karmic debt, or whether it's coming obstruction or whatever it is, then I explain to them how you can understand. Because based on the Buddha's teaching, it's very simple. There are the five daily contemplation that the Buddha asked all the monks to reflect and contemplate. And the last one, regards to law of karma, the Buddha said, each and every living being, regardless of whether who you are, how famous or how high a status you may have, the Buddha said, all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karma. So because karma plays such a great role in your life, so you reflect back whatever that happened to your life, the Buddha said there are causes and conditions behind. So these causes and conditions behind are all related to your karma, because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. If that is the case, you will come to understand why all these things happen. You must have committed them. You must have set the karmic nature to be this way. That's why when there is condition, you will become the victim. You reap what you sow, and you will have to bear all these things. Then as we discuss all this, I say after you understand, then you vow not to be heedless again. You vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, to take care of your karma, to avoid all evil, to good, and purify your mind. Then as you do this, in order for you to have this ability to cultivate accordingly and become Sammasambuddha, you must take the four Bodhisatta vow. The basic vow of a Bodhisatta. First one is you have to vow to save the limitless living beings in this universe. And second one is you vow to endure all suffering of a section that arise in life. We have to do this work. You have to sacrifice. You have to go through a lot of suffering. You must have this patient endurance to carry on. You must have this faith to carry on, otherwise you cannot make it. And the third vow is to prepare your wisdom, your great understanding. That's why you have to vow to penetrate all Dhamma in whatever form, so that you will have this wisdom to understand clearly the nature's law that governs life and existence, and how to save living beings and help bring them across. Then, of course, the last basic vow is to develop the 10 perfection so that you can fulfill the perfection to become Sammasambuddha. So when I recite these four basic vows, I think Hui Rong said, I think initially it's N, I've never taken this vow before. Then Hui Rong also said, normally I will not take this style of vow. I will strive on to develop the enlightenment myself then, and say I don't want to come back. So all this come from where? The thought. Understand? The thought, the sakkayadity, the self-delusion, the egoic mind, that I don't want to come back. I cannot do this work. That's why that thought will limit you, because you say it takes so long and so difficult. All these are the thought, self-delusion. Without this thought, you are beautiful. Like later on I explained to them, I say, if you don't have this labeling to label yourself that way, to lower your self-esteem, and to make you limited by what you label yourself. Because each and every one of us, we had our own beautiful nature within, our true nature, our Buddha nature, original nature, which is no different from other beings, understand? It's only that you have not connected, the condition is not there. That's why you fail to see your limitless, eternal nature. So all this, when you understand, you will not limit yourself to the thought which will label you and make you the way you think. You are limited by your own thoughts, negativity that labels you that way. So if you don't labor, if you don't do all this, you just have the understanding to develop the cultivation, persevere, have faith, then things will unfold. Then you will come to understand one day, I got nothing to lose. Even I take that vow to save limitless living being, so what? The worst case scenario is, I cannot fulfill, or I didn't fulfill, but I'm still better than before. Before I dare not even make that vow. I don't understand. Then it's just like the poor person who has an open mind. If he don't like perceive himself as low esteem and say, all this is not possible for me. Yeah. Don't try to tell me all this. It's beyond me. Then you close your door. But if there is another guy who has an open mind, what he say is, yeah, I got nothing to lose. Now I am poor. If I follow that person's advice, I stand a chance. Why not I give it a try? Then you don't limit yourself. Means you have understanding. When conditioned like that, I will be like that. But if I change and become different, if I develop the cultivation, then my nature can actually transform. From there, they progress. That's why whatever basic vow of the great Bodhisattva, you don't allow the thought to come and limit you and influence you and panic you. You just develop the understanding, the faith, and when the time comes, you will know how to do all these things. And you got nothing to lose, isn't it? Worst case scenario is you are back to square one, understand? Before that, you are like that. But when you have understanding, you perceive your wholesomeness, then you give it a try. That's how you are able to transform. Without moving, without developing a higher understanding, you will be stuck. You don't stand a chance. So all this understanding will unfold as you cultivate. Then as you straighten your view, you start to develop clearer and clearer understanding. Then your horizon become different. From a higher horizon, a higher wisdom and understanding, you look down. It's different. You see the picture more clearly. Last time you at this level, like the example I gave at Cameron Highland, you remember? We were at the higher plane where the San Pao Si or Triple Gem Monastery is. When we look down at the road level, what happened? You see the traffic, the people very busy running around, honing around and do all those funny things. But from our level up there, you look down, you can understand. And sometimes you can predict the movement. You can see the traffic. They are on the blind spot, they cannot see each other on a band or what. But from a higher level, you can see the conditioning they are approaching. If they are not careful, they will clash or collide and meet up with an accident. Then when they are at that level, you know what happened or not? They don't have the higher awareness, higher consciousness, the ability to understand things that are beyond that level. So what happened is they are busy thinking, planning, worrying, arguing. Within that level, they live. That's why they are trapped there. That's why heedless people are like that, caught at that level. But when you have the higher level of consciousness, you look down, you understand, you don't have to be stuck there like that, like those people. You can still go down there and do what you have to do, just like what we did. If we need to go down to buy certain things or attend to certain things, we go. Then after that, we come back to the higher consciousness. Then we look down, we see the delusion of people, how heedless people get entangled, how the lack of clarity and understanding limit them. But when they have that level of understanding, they will not behave like before again. So meditation is like that. As you develop the understanding, you straighten your view, you have a higher consciousness, you have higher horizon, then you can see clearer. And then you start to understand things differently. Like when you are in the primary school, you only, with the limited understanding, you will argue within that limited understanding. But as you go to secondary school, different again. As you go to high school, different again. As you go to university, different again. So Dhamma is the same. As you cultivate, you develop understanding, you do things differently. Then you realize there is a lot more scope to what people used to do. Then the choice, the option, there are so much more. And the cultivation, there are so much more understanding, the level of consciousness that are possible. Then you can go all the way to great beings, Mahasattva, then become Samasambuddha and all those things. So all these are the understanding that you can develop as you cultivate. So this is what Diamond Sutta is all about. You must have this faith in the Buddha Dharma. So this is the third, what they call criteria. Then the person who received the reply should respond immediately by relentlessly cultivating Sila, Samadhi and Panya, and put greed, hatred and delusion to rest. However, the Dhamma is so subtle and so wonderful that the person who received the telegram from the Buddha may not even realize it. So this is to try to like tell you in a very subtle way. As a cultivator of the way, unless you already progress until certain level, you still don't know what is going on. I like this Quang Ching Lao Er Sang. You heard of this old monk. He was an illiterate. He don't know how to speak Mandarin. He only speak Hokkien. He teach also in Hokkien. So I think it's from Fujian, Quang Ching Lao Er Sang. So when people ask him, what is wisdom? You know how he answered. What is wisdom? Anybody want to try? I shared this before. What is wisdom? Use the mic. Pass the mic to Pahasri. Yeah, you try, no problem. Push it out.
Non-perception.
Yeah, wisdom is the non-perception of form. But you have to go deeper than that, because that one is the ultimate understanding. Because perception of form is consciousness. It's not the direct seeing. But when you are aware before the knowing, the non-perception is wisdom, which is the right understanding. Actually, wisdom is not a knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding. It's an overall understanding. So Quang Ching Lao Sang's definition is very interesting, because the student asked him. He said in Mandarin. I think he spoke in Hokkien, they translate it. He said, wisdom is like that, he said. When the person who has awakened and developed it, he still don't know he has wisdom. But when he confront life, he said, 碰到情形 or 问题, he know what to do. When he is confronted with problem or situation, then that form and mind who has the wisdom will know how to act and do. That is wisdom. 那就是智慧, is it? It's just like Sun Hua said, when the Buddha rejoices with your pure thought, send you a telegram, sadhu, rejoice, but you didn't receive, you didn't know, but you actually transcend already. Like the single thought of cessation, one moment of cessation, you actually become Arya already, either a Sotapan or a Sakadagami or an Anagami. But he's still, that being still to know. Until when they are confronted with real life situation, then somehow they know how to act. They understand. They are not deluded anymore. Sakaditi no more. Then they realize they are different already. Like some of the Kayamita now, they know. They are so different from before already. A lot of those things they cannot do already. Then their mind state is so different already. Then they see things so clearly. They are not deluded by the phenomenal world anymore. Thing is just the way they are. Then they can see things as they are. Then they know this five gear for my mind is not what they are. Then when people say you die already, how, and all those things, they just laugh, but there is no such thing. The so-called rebirth, all those things, is a condition arising entity, born of self-delusion, sakaditi. Where that one is not you. Even this one, the form of mind that come, this life, is not you. Then how can those rebirth consciousness be you? How can they say, die already, your soul come out, your soul will take another body and continue? That's why they call reincarnation. You reincarnate into another form of mind. There is no such thing, the Buddha said. There is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity, a soul that transmigrates from one life to the next life. No. Everything is dependent originating. And everyone is a different one, segmented, but it's all connected to that karmic nature. Then each and every of these also can develop a spiritual nature. It depends on your understanding, your cultivation. So this part is what Shen Hua is trying to say. However, the Dhamma is so subtle and wonderful that the person who received the telegram from the Buddha may not even realize it. Now, this is what Guan Qing Lao Sang Man also. He said, the wisdom is like that. When you have it, you also don't know it, that form of mind. Then when they encounter situation or problem, they will understand, they will know how to act. Oh, that is real wisdom. Means it's not a knowledge, understand? It's not something accumulated. Oh, I understand. Oh, I know. Like is it capital or slang or Ptaling Chaya? Then all the various statistics or facts that you study from your academic field. These are knowledge, rigid, understand? And this is not wisdom. That's why wisdom is an understanding. When he understands, means he understands one. No matter what the condition is, there is understanding. And understanding is not rigid. Wisdom is not rigid one. That's why it can vary accordingly. Different condition, different being, different situation. All the causes and conditions will be different. But if that being has wisdom, no matter what the condition, what the situation, under what circumstances, it will understand and it will know how to act. It will not be deluded. Then whatever the phenomena is, it can come in whatever form, it will understand very clearly. Because the characteristics of nature is all fully understood. That's why it can have this type of understanding. And it's not rigid. It doesn't mean that every situation you must apply the answer. No. The answer vary according to situation and condition. That's why they will know how to accord and flow. And the only criteria is there is no more delusion. There is no more suffering. There is no more heedlessness. Everything is developed through understanding, through heedfulness. And that wisdom is not a knowledge at all. The moment you awaken, that form of mind that has awakened is connected to that wisdom, the understanding. And the understanding can never leave the form of mind. It's not a memory. It's not something you have to remember. That's why they say, when you are already a Sotapan or a Sakadagami or Anagami or Arahan or Bodhisattva, what, that form of mind at that line can never fall backward. Understand? it can never regress backward. But it doesn't mean every life you come, you will have that understanding. No, because you have to connect, you have to meditate to connect to that nature. Then only you inherit. Because spiritual nature and karmic nature are two different things. You read the green book I explained before. Who are you? What are you? Karmic nature is, like the Buddha said, the moment the form of mind is born, it is born of its karma, heir to its karma, condition supported by its karma, and you are what you are. Because, so you inherit direct on, straight away, no need to wait on. Karma immediately take effect. But as long as that form and mind still haven't connect back to the true nature or true mind, it can never inherit the spiritual nature. And that is the uniqueness of the spiritual nature. That's why you must have the causes and conditions to come into contact with the triple gem, then to develop the cultivation, then connect back. At the moment it connect back, it will inherit very fast. It will go back to that old level of cultivation very fast. So all this is the uniqueness of this nature's law. So if you want to develop the understanding of the spiritual nature, you have to connect every life. So that's why it's so difficult to perfect the spiritual nature. Every life you come, even if you are lucky, let's say you are Sakyamuni, age 29 you renounce the world, then age 35 you connect. Actually it's already very fast, age 35 you connect. That's why this nature of mine, this life was very lucky. 1989, I was also exactly 35 years old. This nature was lucky because of past causes and conditions. That's why the moment it connect, it has so many beautiful years of perfection and cultivation and understanding. Otherwise, you connect at age 60, how? You left with 20 years. Sometimes you're not lucky, like those arahant during the Buddha's time, remember? Come out, the bull or the cow, gore them to death, understand? The two arahant, you know? The moment they become arahant, they come out, they want to go and get the robe and the bath and go for refuge and become the disciple of the Buddha. Before they can even buy all those things or receive all those things, coming. Catch up and they will go to death. So all this is what the form of mind is all about. That's why I share this secret with you all, remember? Life after life, you want to protect this form of mind, you must have great affinity, Kuan Yin. That was what I learned from my past. That's why I have a lot of affinity, Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva's nature. And every life, this form of mind arise. Even this life, Kuan Yin's nature has saved this form of mind at least 3 occasions already. Otherwise, this form of mind would have been lost long ago on 3 occasions. That's why you have to seek their blessing, protection, and guidance, and have gratitude towards them and thank them profoundly to understanding for what they have done for you. So all these are the understanding that you will later on develop, so that this form of mind, when it comes, it has the causes and conditions to arise, be protected, receive the blessing and the guidance, then it will connect early. Even this life, Kuan Yin's nature came in 1986 and passed the message. That's why it starts to move from there. Then many things happen. So protection, guidance, and blessings are very important for you to do this work, for you to carry on this perfection and cultivation. So if you can connect early, then you inherit, then you can do your work. Then you can at the same time continue with your cultivation, your understanding. All this will bring forth the great condition for future. Then just now Anne was asking me, what is the most important aspiration and vow? I replied to her, it was in the recording I think, First part was it recorded? No. Hui Rong record that time later already. Okay, I try to recall. Okay, now we discuss this. He said, go to India, spiritual trip. He always hear me say, make aspiration. Invoke the power of merits. Make aspiration. So she asked me, what are the important aspirations and vow that you must make? And now we discuss, open up. What are the vows and aspirations you will go for? Try, just give it a try. Pamasiri, good. Give it a try.
Okay, what about see the truth that the Buddha has seen?
That can be one of your aspirations. But then there are many other aspirations that one can do. What about the rest? Maybe we pass to end. Just now she heard something. You can recall that. I cannot recall. You want to try? Just give it a try. What are the aspirations? Oh, never mind. Okay. Anybody else want to try? Yingbi, pass the mic to Yingbi. She will have some understanding. Because you can invoke power of merits to make aspiration. And aspiration can come in many, many forms. So which is the important one? It varies from individual, isn't it? Different people, different time. You need different thing, you make different vow. So this is the hint I give to you. Now you try.
Radio, my aspiration is to develop the true understanding and wisdom to be liberated. And sometimes it can be mixed with aspire to be connected quickly to the true nature.
That one is very important. The early connection. Like I said just now, it depends on the individual. Different people need different things, different time. That's not. So while I was explaining to Anne, I told her, the normal aspiration that people do is like what Sakyamuni advised you, the very general one. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. The chanting you always do during the closing puja. What is the meaning? Imina punyang kamina. Punyang is your merit. By the power of these merits that you have cultivated or developed. Because every time you go through a Dhamma session, almost all the 10 meritorious section, the wholesomeness all you have cultivated and developed. And because of that, you can invoke the power of these merits. So the Buddha find it most important to actually make the aspiration for you to avoid all the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. And this is the most important. Because the moment you aspire to avoid the heedless and the foolish, you actually save a lot of sidetrack. Save a lot of those unnecessary downfall. Then when you make further aspiration to meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, it actually strengthens the possibility of you to receive the Dhamma. Understand? That's why for those who have the understanding, they go one step further. They say they must recognize who are the heedless and the fools. If you don't recognize, you aspire. When you meet, you still don't know, you still mix with the fool. That's not the foolish and the heedless, because you don't understand what constitutes foolishness and heedlessness. That's why you want to avoid all evil, do good. You must understand what is evil, what is good. Then when you say you aspire for connect to meet up with the wise, But luckily, the Buddha teach you to add so that enlightenment in the here and now Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. You don't add that, you meet, you don't recognize, then you don't follow. Then that condition just slip by. Understand? But this aspiration is very general. The Buddha did it because you are already a cultivator, understand? You already qualified to be a cultivator. You are cultivating already. That's why you can become either his lay disciple or the Sangha members. So because of that, he said, this is the appropriate aspiration. But as you know, through this sharing, or many of the sharing that I have done over the years, there are a lot of people who has karmic obstruction, you remember? If you have karmic obstruction, you cannot break through. There is no condition for you to receive the Dhamma. And every time you try, there is a lot of karmic obstruction. There's a lot of kayamita. Those who have karmic obstruction, they kena kau kau. So because of that, you must ask for forgiveness, repentance, and vow not to do it again. Then you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha. And while all you very good, purify the mind and cultivate. Then you invoke the power of these merits for causes and conditions. Yeah? Initially, you must make the aspiration for those who got karmic obstruction. If you got karmic obstruction, you will know. Every time you want to go into this, something will come and disturb you, obstruct you. That's why straight away ask for forgiveness, break that karmic obstruction, otherwise you cannot move. Then you need to invoke the power of merits for your nature, to have the causes and conditions to break all karmic obstruction or whatever karmic offense that this nature has committed. Today I teach Joyce Huntsman to add in these few words because for his case is very unique. I just like last time I teach Envy to add in the word misled, people whom you have misled. So now his honor, we always say whomsoever from the distant past until now, we talk about human being, living being, That one is because triple jam. Offended the triple jam. So triple jam, you have to add in, including the triple jam. Then I told him to add all cultivators of the way and all Dhamma protector. Otherwise, that obstruction is very strong. So all this, you will develop the understanding. For causes and conditions, for you to break all this karmic obstruction that you have knowingly or unknowingly committed from the distant past until now towards all beings, known or unknown, seen or unseen, including the triple gem, all cultivators and Dhamma protector, so that it's complete. Then after that, when you do it, then this coming obstruction, they will like be overcome or watered down. Then only you can make the other aspiration that the Buddha teach you to avoid the foolish, the heedless, and meet out with the wise. But when the coming obstruction is there, you make this vow or aspiration, it cannot be fulfilled, understand? Because the obstruction is there. You want to meet out with the wise, cannot. Because these are your coming obstruction. In the past, you have caused all this to other beings. And sometimes you may not be the one doing it, understand? Sometimes you may be under instruction by the emperor, understand? You remember during the Cultural Revolution, the Communist Party, what they do? They destroy and burn all the Dhamma book, understand? All the religious thing, the scripture, everything. Then you are the soldier, what you do? You also go and prevent people from learning all this. Go and burn all this as well. So in future, law of karma, you reap what you sow. When you want to cultivate, when you want to go for this, you got this karmic offense from the past. You cannot receive all these things, understand? Because you did such disruptive karmic offense to the triple jam. you not only stop people, no, you destroy the sutta, no, you burn them, no, and you kill all those people who hide all this and try to cultivate and do all this. No. So when the time comes, actually initially if becoming offend is already considered very mild, understand? No? If you have to pay back, you become victim, people will kill you and prevent you from learning on it. That's why you will be born in certain country where you cannot touch that thing. So karma is so powerful, you have to understand. You cannot take for granted. You cannot, we use the word play. You get into big trouble, I tell you. That's why the Buddha's advice is all evil you must avoid. You don't play a fool, you have to. Sabba papasa akaranang. But when it comes to doing wholesomeness, he never say oh no, he never say sabbe kusalesa upasambada, no. He say kusalesa means whatever wholesomeness you should develop if you have the condition to develop. That's like kusalesa upasambada. Then you have to purify your mind. Sacitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. So aspiration come in stages. So when you know there is coming obstruction, you ask for forgiveness. You determine not to repeat all this. Then you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then you cultivate, avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind, take care of karma, train your mind to be heedful. Then develop all this wholesomeness, the meritorious action. Then invoke the power of merits with this. First, to break the karmic obstruction. If you see that the sign is there, keep on obstructing you. Every time you want to go into this, something will come and obstruct you. I got one student early on, the kilometer. For 5-6 times, you know, he go retreat. There is this type of insect that come and sting her eye, around her eye area. And the whole thing bunk out and everything. Oh, he very scared of that insect. Every time he go on retreat, he sure canal. Then he came and talk to me and asked, then I asked him to ask for forgiveness and make the aspiration. Within 1 week, he recovered. He recovered. Then no more after that. Never disturb her again. And that insect never come again. So a lot of this thing is has to do with your past. You never understand. So aspiration, you have to do with understanding. So first is break the karmic obstruction if you have. Then if you already know that you don't have karmic obstruction, where you can come, you can develop the understanding in the study, then you only have to make that normal standard aspiration that the Buddha taught you to avoid all the foolish, the heedless, meet up with the wise, recognize, follow, and realize the enlightenment. Then after that, you can go further, understand? You vow life after life to have this understanding when you come, understand? That is very important, isn't it? Otherwise, most of the life you come, the condition not there, you don't have this Dhamma, don't have this understanding, then you suffer for nothing, understand? Then when the Buddha Sasana like now around, then only you have the chance to connect, understand? Means what? For aeons and aeons of birth and death, you never have this understanding, you never connect. Then, because you aspire for causes and conditions to meet up with all this, so when the sasana is there only, you got such condition. No, you don't wait for that. If you are a cultivator, like this nature, long ago already determined, life after life, when it comes, this form of mind, it must have this understanding. Then it vow to connect fast. Otherwise, very difficult to cultivate. So every life, you left with how much time? Like my teacher, one of the teachers told me, he said, Theo, you know, you're very, very lucky. Most people, by the time they connect, they already 80 years old or beyond. So you're 80 years old and beyond. How much time you have left? You have limited time. So he said, it's very, very rare to have such ability to connect so early. So vow and aspiration depend on the situation, the person, the cultivator. Then when you understand, you will modify the vow accordingly. That's why the four basic vows of the great bodhisattva, to become bodhisattva are very important. Once you take the vow, then you will have the causes and conditions to come back as bodhisattva and asana. And because you have this basic vow, it will give you all the criteria. First is you vow to save the limitless living being. It will arise the causes and conditions for your form and mind to continue to come back. You don't have to take rebirth to delusion. From the pure mind, the love and compassion, you can pull out this pure mind, and through that vow, the form and mind will come and it will take rebirth, but not through ignorance. That's why you don't have a rebirth consciousness born of delusion to condition your next birth. No. Then the timing and the condition depend on your understanding. You can choose your time, the condition and the civilization to come. And my nature always, it knows. It come at the transition period. We are in like transition period. Transition period like this life, I can see all. I come after World War II, and many years after World War II, because 1954, World War II was 1940. During that time, a lot of things still very backward. But during the 50s, actually, we already quite established, but not so advanced yet. We are during my time when I went to secondary school, or even Form 1, Form 2, Form 3. Our geography is already very advanced, We understood a lot of things about geography. Earth is not flat. Earth is round and all those things, the orbit. Then our science are quite advanced at that time. The physics and all those things. In 1971, my Form 5, the chemistry, physics, biology, even what they call organic chemistry, we were quite advanced. Then, of course, during the 70s, 80s, the understanding of science and technology actually took off, especially after Einstein. Then a lot of things happened. So because of that, if you come during this transition period, you get to see the old and the new. Then when I went through that phase, the moment I graduate, 1979, civilization take off. Then I get to see the beautiful civilization, to understand all those things. And then we are so fortunate. That's why I say you are very blessed during this era. You can get to actually live life to the fullest. If you have the means, if you have the parami, you can nowadays travel the world. Travel the world to see all of the beautiful civilization of ours. All these are possible for those who have traveled before. Even our spiritual trip and my recent trip to Europe and all those things. Then I used to watch the astro program. Last time they used to have this ticket to indulgence. They show you all over the world, all the nice places and all the nice scenery, the unique culture and all those things. Many places within our planet, they are so unique, so beautiful, so pristine. You go through the internet, you can see them all. And the world can be so beautiful. And civilization can be so marvelous. And we have the means because we pick at this time. So I retire at the age of 40 something and I have the means to travel, to see and to do all these things. That's why I had this joy. I appreciate life so much. I was able to actually have the causes and conditions to go through life, to live. That's why I told you, according to ultimate truth, impermanent, suffering, non-self, not real. But there is such thing as life, and you can live it, and it can be very beautiful. That's why you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can live life to the fullest. moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? If you have that understanding, you can be with the moment to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, the pristine beauty. That every moment of consciousness is so beautiful, every moment of life is so beautiful, so meaningful. How come this is possible? It's because of the Dhamma, because of the understanding. So that's why when you understand, you will know how to make the appropriate vow and condition for you to come. Then when you come, when you have this understanding, then life becomes wonderful, like Heart Sutta. When you understand true emptiness, Chân Khung, Miao Yu. When you penetrate true emptiness, life becomes wonderful, meaningful. That's why there is such thing as life, even though this form of mind is not me. But it can enable this nature to experience life so beautifully. To move around, to experience, to live, to understand, to share, to be a blessing to all. And all these are so beautiful, so meaningful, even though it's impermanent, moment to moment. Understand? But there is such a thing as life. Understand? So when Kayanamita gathers together, share the Dhamma, there is so much joy, so much peace, so much happiness in you. Understand? Before you have this condition, what were you doing? Most of the time, living being are thinking, planning, worrying for life, heedless, like Padmasri said. Because you don't understand yourself. There is nothing for you to do, yourself. Maybe most of them enjoy life, they have the money, but they don't know how to enjoy life. What is enjoy life? They only, what they call, go for all those sensual things, understand? Then sometimes if you don't understand life, even you have the means, the money, you travel, you do all those things, unless you like this thing. Otherwise you find it like, it's not what you want. You will go and complain also. While you travel also you complain. Ah, you're stupid, come all this place. I might as well stay at home, more comfortable. My local food. You develop all this attachment while traveling. Now you're all wasting your money and time. When you are there, leave. Understand? Do whatever you have to do. Then experience all of the beauty and wonders. Every moment can be very meaningful and very pristine. When I travel, I love it so much. I really do what I want to do. And I can be there. Like everywhere I go, I feel that place. Then I experience that place. Then every moment of consciousness is so beautiful. Understand? Even our spiritual tree all sing. When I was there, when I silent, realized the nature, they're all very different. So beautiful, so pristine. The moment is so beautiful, full of clarity and full of new experience. Every moment is a different moment. And the nature, the people, the civilization, the culture, they are so beautiful. That's why when I went to Macau, it's the same. Then when I travel all over the world, it's the same. Then I, at home also same. I look at my own house. I felt the joy, the happiness. Then I experience all the beautiful consciousness. And I appreciate what this form of mind has given this nature. Understand? Until this age, you know, still everything perfect. Touch wood. Until now, you know, all the blood tests come out still very good. Of course, I take diabetic drug and all those things. I'm on some medication which is considered very mild, very minor compared to people who have so much suffering, disease, sickness and all those things. I hardly have anything. My sinus also not disturbing me anymore. Then my health has improved actually tremendously. And every moment I had a lot of joy and I rejoice and count my blessing can be so beautiful, so perfect, even up to this age. Then what else you want? A lot of people, much younger, already having so much problem, and some are dying, some are born defect, understand? With a lot of problem. Then you can have this beautiful form of mind and beautiful life, even up to this age. There is so much contentment, so much joy, so much gratitude. And this is how your mind state can be beautiful, understand? If you lack contentment, you lack the wholesomeness of mind, you always want to compare and complain. So rich also want to complain. Like that day, one of my classmates, he went to, I think China, I think, don't know which part, also like, I think Amazon or what. He was complaining, is it? I think something happened. Then they were caught, trapped, and missed the journey, the trip was not smooth for them. But later on, they get to see all those scenery which they like. They send it back Facebook. Then I say, oh, you are there. I say, I was there also last year. Then certain place like Putosan, I wrote to them. They also went to Lingshan Da Po. Then they told me, he said, the scenery, but when we were there, we encountered all this. That's why they also have their situation and difficulty. But for us, everything is like, we are so blessed. The weather, the nature, everything like completely fall into place and so beautiful. Then life become very beautiful. That's what the Dhamma can bring about, can make such great difference. So this aspiration is very important. You want to have the good life. You want to develop the understanding to come. That's why I always say you have to come and you choose to come. You must make sure you come with the right understanding. Otherwise, myself don't come. But for those who have to come, you don't have a choice. Karma will bring you. That's why you don't take care of karma. I tell you, every life you come, you will become miserable. You will have to suffer a lot. So, cultivation comes in stages, depending on what phase and what stage you are. But never too late, understand? Have faith. Then when you understand this, like this little secret of life is so beautiful, which the Buddha has taught you, then you know how to plan your life. Then you make the aspiration, vow. Then through nature's law, it will manifest. And then life after life, when you come, you have this understanding, you become so different, you know? Like this life, you have so much gratitude, you know? So much joy, you know? Because you encounter the Buddha Dharma. And you understand the Buddha Dhamma and you know how to live life and cultivate the understanding. So this one is very, very important, very precious. Money cannot buy. So when you have the condition to have this understanding, that's why I say, don't allow this window to slip away. Develop all the wholesomeness that you can develop. Because this life, every of this wholesomeness that you cultivate is way beyond all those ordinary people's merits and blessing that they cultivate using their normal mundane mind without understanding. I used to tell you all that you attend one of these Tuesday class or Thursday class or even the Sunday class Dhamma sharing. The merits and the wholesomeness that each and every one of you develop is beyond your wildest dream. You will never understand until you develop the cultivation. Then you realize this window is very rare. That's why all these merits and wholesomeness that you have developed, you can actually invoke the power of merits and set all the causes and conditions for your future coming and future understanding. So all this can make a tremendous difference to your life, not only this life, all of your future life that you have to come or choose to come. And these merits are so powerful because you are in the sasana, you have this condition to have the understanding, and you have all this great condition and understanding to make a difference to your future life. So you have to make use of it. That's why I say don't allow the window to slip by, which I by now, I have full confidence most Kayaramita will know how to do, know what to do. You don't worry whether this life you are able to become enlightened or not. Forget about that one, understand? When the thought is like too eager to become enlightened, the thought will play trick on you, understand? That's why I say when you cultivate, forget about the mind. Don't try to know, just do sincerely. Then make the aspiration. then things will go your way. Trust your nature. As long as you have done all these things with understanding, your nature will become beautiful. Then when you come, it will take care of you. Then you will know what to do. Then make the vow, make the aspiration. As I today's topic, I think aspiration, vow is very important because we touch on it. It's in the Diamond Sutta. And the repeated answer is faith. Faith is the most important. That's why you must have faith. Then cultivate, then make aspiration. And you will be set. You will become very beautiful. Understand? Most of you will have that understanding and you will make it. Not a problem at all. That's why I say you may not know, most of you. You may think, I cannot, I nothing. But later on, when you connect, you will have a shock of your life. Wow, actually, I also not bad. But it's not you, it's your nature, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. There are past causes and conditions you have cultivated before. You have affinity with the Triple Gem. Most of you have. That's why you are beautiful, you are unique, except you don't know who you are now. Later on, when you connect, when you understand, you have so much joy. But for my nature, it's different because it has cultivated very, very long. That's why when I was young, my form and mind knew that this nature is different, that this being that come is different. Since I was young, I knew. And later on, when the condition arise, that's why at a very young age, it already probe, search, investigate, inquire. Then later on, the time come, it connect. Then there are many things that happened to me when I was very young, which I knew it's not by chance. Something helped me. And that time, I don't know what was it, but I knew something helped me. Then later, when I meditate, when I connect, when I develop the understanding, then all of a sudden, those conditions came back. Then I start to experience them and saw them. Then I start to understand. Oh, no wonder this vision came back. There was one incident happened when I was 8 years old. I was almost drunk. Then Kuan Yin's nature helped me. Then later on, when I was 35 years old, 1989, when I understood, I pay respect to Kuan Yin, express my gratitude, all those things. As I do that, very strange, suddenly that vision came back, when I was 8 years old, swimming in the river, that I was almost drowned. How come the vision come? I almost forgot about it already, understand? That straight away the nature knew, if it's not because of Kuan Yin, this form and mind would have died that time. Then straight away with tears, with joy, with gratitude, pay respect and express my gratitude and thanks to Kuan Yin's nature again. Then from that moment it connect, then I understood Kuan Yin's nature has been helping this nature all along for many, many, many lives because of my vow and my understanding and my affinity. You have to make the request life after life. After you thank Kuan Yin's nature for its blessing, protection and guidance, then you request, by the power of this wholesomeness may arise the causes and conditions for Kuan Yin's nature to continue to bless, protect and guide this nature of my life after life, if it has to come, understand? Then the nature will manifest through nature's law. Then every life you come, the form and mind, but this form and mind is very fragile, very delicate. Slightest thing is just gone. That's why it's not easy to connect, understand? That's why all these great beings, when they come, even the cosmic that monitor all these great beings, they know most of them couldn't make it because the form and mind somehow, the condition just not favorable, part just gone. Sometimes they can't even connect, it's gone. That's why you have to understand that this form and mind is very fragile. You have to seek all these great beings' nature for protection, guidance, and blessing. Protection is most important. Not to say you're scared of dying. This form and mind is not you. Who is scared of dying? But you need this form and mind to cultivate, to connect, and to develop all this condition for you to do what you have to do, your vow, fulfill your vow and do all those things. So these are the things you have to understand, and you will make those vows appropriate to its cause. But you need to have this understanding. That's why you have to have the four basic vows to penetrate all Dhamma. If you don't have that, you cannot understand all this teaching. The Surangama teaching, the Surangama Sutta, the Heart Sutta, the what they call Diamond Sutta and all these things. Oh, we still got about 7 minutes. Maybe we stop here. Oh, we stop at page 45. The fourth criteria is he understands the great principle. This one you go back and read. He understands the great principle. So this great principle is very important, that each and every one of you, you are Buddha. You have your Buddha nature. So don't underestimate yourself. But this one is not a human being. It's not an entity. It's a nature. So don't think that, hey, I got this Buddha nature, I don't have to cultivate it, I just have to connect and realize. But then you, every day you hope to connect. The thought will prevent you. So, and it doesn't mean when you connect you become Buddha. So, no, you need the perfection, the cultivation. If you can have one single thought, the pure thought, you can connect. But after you connect, you have not done much. You don't inherit much. You connect, that is just the beginning. You realize you have to do a lot of work. So after you connect, you still need to cultivate. Then only you understand. If you have done before, it will come back to you. You will inherit. Then you will understand very fast. Like this line, the way I give now, the sharing, and many, many lives of sharing and giving. When this nature come, it will receive the same way. Because I give so easy, so fast, so potent. The way I receive also, this life I come, actually nobody really teach me. My teacher didn't really teach me. Most of them, they talk to me only. I don't have classes like that with them one. don't have one. I only meet them once a blue moon. Then some I go and see them. Then when I am there with them, I just talk to them only. They don't teach me Dhamma. Understand? I just talk to them. Then they explain to me whatever they understand. Then every teacher, every guide, I will receive something. Then all the book come, the teacher come, the guide come. Then I receive. Wherever there is truth, this nature will understand. Then sometimes the person who spoke also don't understand. But this nature, upon hearing, understood and go beyond. That's why it's very different. When you cultivate, you will understand all this. You will penetrate all this. Okay, another 4 minutes. You got any question or not? Yeah? Any more? Pass the mic to Pamasuri.
Ratio. Last lesson we discuss about becoming is disintegration, and today we talk about making aspiration. I sort of a bit of there's a contrast,
like contradiction. No, yeah, when you make vow, you don't have craving. Understand? You make with understanding. Understanding means what? There are causes and conditions for it to arise. I never crave for it. That's why I follow the understanding. Then I make aspiration, and it will arise through nature's law. Understand? I never say, I crave to become that thing, or I want to become that thing. No. You invoke the power of merits. By the power of this wholesomeness, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to always have this understanding. If it has to come or it choose to come. That's why it's not a craving, it's not a desire. That's why I asked you the question that day during the sharing on Krishnamurti code on becoming is disintegration. I said, is it wrong for a Buddhist to have ambition. Ambition is you want to become an engineer. It's not a craving to become an engineer. I understand the society's law is I must study and pass the exam. Then I must qualify to be a candidate of an engineering faculty, understand? And the university must be recognized. But if I use shortcut and cheat my way through, then I still get the degree, like a lot of people go and buy their degree, understand? But if you do this, there is a karmic effect, understand? When people come to know how, there are certain people who became disgraced. One of them was, if I'm not wrong, Li Ka Shin San. He claimed he graduated from don't know what university. Actually, they go and check, he never graduated. So he only registered, went in and studied, but he never graduated. So then, because of that, he actually did a listed company in Hong Kong. Then that listed company, after that thing happened, his reputation gone, that share price went down. That's why it has its consequence. So you don't go the crooked way. You can have ambition, but you know, if you follow this civil society's law, then you work towards it. You don't crave for it. You don't desire for it. Then it will manifest. So becoming has craving behind. Yes, you crave to become that. But when you have ambition to become a doctor or an engineer, because you understand this occupation is very, very meaningful. It can help a lot of people. The reason why I choose this course is when I was young, I didn't even know what course to choose. But somehow my first choice was civil engineering, because it's from the past. And this is the field that I will understand a lot of things. And because this is the field that I can do a lot of things to help humanity. Even my this engineering career, I told you I reached the pinnacle of my career. I was involved in so many projects and I did so much of this engineering project that helped so many people in the field of development and maintenance, construction, everything. And I was involved with a lot of this very, very diverse range of projects. From even the very small maintenance project until very prestigious, very famous project and very renowned project. I worked with all these renowned architects, consultants, clients. Even reached the Prime Minister department to make all the what they call project proposal do all those what they call project submission, the privatization and all those things. That's why I say I reached the pinnacle of my career. So I attended many of these high level meeting presentation and all those things. So in the midst of all the ministers, the prime minister, the client and all those things. So these are the things that your career can bring you through. Then you can develop a lot of understanding. But all this come about not because there is a craving to be. No. Because this nature, no. You have to work towards it. And when you strive on with heedfulness and work towards it, it will manifest when the conditions are fulfilled. So you will understand the difference, because one is with understanding, there is no craving. You don't desire, understand? You don't go and, oh, I aim, or I want to become. No. You make the aspiration, the pure wish. Then you have the ambition. If there are causes and conditions, I will strive on with heedfulness, or I will study hard to pass the exam, to fulfill the condition. And during that time, it was so difficult, you know. Well, I was born in a remote, small town that don't stand a chance on. Anybody who can pass then the sixth there is already considered very marvelous, very special. Well, that time was the 50s, the 60s. then you can pass form 3. Oh, you are a star already. Very rare, Jeff. You can become a teacher, taken into teacher training. Oh, you are really a star. And very few people go to form 4 and form 5. Then if you can clear form 6, you are already really, really the rare jewel. Then can enter university, lucky rare. Then the worst was, I went into the faculty of engineering. I was the only one from that state in my school. The rest, they went overseas. Then later on, there are some students from another school join us. They also went into MU. The rest all, they went overseas and studied. So this condition is connected to my karmic past. The nature understand this is what it wants. That's why everything falls into play. The way I study engineering also very strange. My father wanted me to study medicine to become a doctor. Yeah, he's a Chinese medical hall, Chinese sensei. And he wanted me to be a doctor, and I knew. And at that time, my result was so good in the school, I can study either medicine or engineering. Then I tell myself, to be fair to my father, I must not prejudice what I want to study. I tell myself, I will be fair to my father. You know what I did? I draw a lot. I put 4 engineering, 4 medicine into a box. I draw a lot. One by one, I take it out. Yeah, got a shock of my life. All 4 also engineering. I said, no need to decide. Then I tell my dad, I said, sorry. I said, I tried. Everything meant to be. I work out the probability, you know. It's one in don't know how many million times to have that thing. Every draw you put in back and draw, actually one in 2 chance. All 4 also engineering. I straight away say no need to think really. Meant to be. Show it to me like that. That's why since young, a lot of things show it to me. I steal $2 from my mother's ang pao. That year I poke guy. I tell you, my everything better. But when I never steal and never lie and never cheat, never violate the karma, the precept. Every year $2 I can win. I can make $100 over from that $2 during that 2 weeks of New Year. You won't believe. And I saw it by my own self. And I'm very good at all this card game and everything. My mind very strong. When I want that card, it come. But that year when I stole $2 from my mother Sang Pao, the card never come. And all the card, you cannot recognize that one. Then I start to ask myself, how come like that? That time I didn't even know the Dhamma. I didn't even know karma. But I knew it was because of that $2. Because never before. Understand? Every year also I make money. That year alone, gone. Then later on when I lie, things never get right on. You have to pay for it. And it keep on showing to you on the cause and effect, cause and effect. Keep on coming back. That's why when you are on the right path, when you cultivate correctly, it shows it to you on the nature's law. Until you will never violate it. It is like that. It shows it to you, I tell you. Never worthwhile to violate. The nature's law is like that. That's why the Dhamma becomes so clear. And how come it can be like that? You don't ask me. I also don't know. I know I never learned this life. And all this, how come it happened to me? How come my life is so unique? It doesn't happen to other people. I check with my brother, they don't have such thing. Then a lot of things you will come to understand later on as you progress along the path of cultivation. As your nature evolves, as it develops the understanding, then everything like zigzag puzzle fall into place. Then you start to see the overall. Then, oh, no wonder. Then you start to realize, oh, the Buddha really fantastic. That's why the year 1971, when I received the book, What Buddhists Believe, I read the Four Noble Truths for the first time. I never read it before. I straight away knew, that's it, no need to search. Who can have that type of understanding? Most people, even after expounding or proclaiming the Four Noble Truths many times, they still look at you. They still didn't get the message. Oh, we have to end, huh? 10:38, sorry. Exceeded 8 minutes. Okay, maybe we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merits. Then you make an aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akka satta cha bhamata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasada. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the other great beings, worthy ones. Help to bring the food over, and you all can have it.